We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, everybody? How we doing? And welcome to the 20th installment of NBA Friday here on the Riverfront Media Network. We got a fun show for you. Maybe current stuff isn't going to be super exciting because we're kind of in that gray area of, like, for love of God, just starting the playoffs. But we're going to have some fun conversations today. Tim Daniel here with Sean Mackey with Parker Fields. And Parker, I have a bone to pick with you because last night during the Lakers-Kings game, I took both of your picks for De'Aaron Fox and LeBron James. And
yeah,
they
played like shit.
Yeah, I would like to request a refund from your services.
Literally. And the funny part is, literally, when they played a week ago, they both went for like 35 plus. And then, I couldn't tell you what happened last night. LeBron looked horrible until the fourth quarter. And De'Aaron Fox just kind of didn't really shoot the ball game, honestly. I think he took like 10 shots. He barely shot the ball.
I am on a losing streak, a bad one right now. So let's see what am I looking at tonight? I'll read you my tickets from tonight just so we can kind of have some conversation here. Okay. Not looking too bad right now. I got the Tyrese Maxey over 25.5 and he's got 18 right now in that game. They're in the third halftime. And then I have Jalen Brunson tonight. They're playing at Portland for his over 25.5. So feel good against the Blazers that Jalen Brunson can get 26.
Yeah, I feel good about that. I think he's got that.
I think I'm going to get some of my money back.
I just hit a bet. What's it called? I had Oregon money line and I had San Diego State money line. And both games came down to the last shot and both rimmed out. So I won my money.
There you go.
Thank God. But it was very stressful. Right before this, I was like, oh my God. Because UNLV came back from down 10 with like 2 minutes left and sent it to overtime. But thankfully, San Diego State won in overtime. Thank God.
Yeah. They have to have a good seed in the tournament. I like them a lot. But hey, next week, we'll get you guys ready for March Madness. We'll talk about some of the players to look at for the NBA draft next week. But this week, we're going to talk about some concerns for some potential contenders. Maybe a few other things in the current topics. Our flashback, we're going to laugh. We're going to talk a lot about the 10-year run that was the Charlotte Bobcats. How bad all of it was. Uniforms, logos, coaching, drafting.
Uniforms.
Oh, my God. It is.
It's bad.
It's very bad. It's very, very bad. I sent you guys like a brief history via text yesterday, and I was laughing sending it. And then our draft, this was Parker's idea this week. It is the all-time pre-merger draft. So I did get confirmation that they had to just be drafted or into the NBA before the ABA merger. So yes, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar will 1,000% be taken by one of the three of us in this draft. But
unless we forget like Kobe and Shaq.
Yeah, unless we forget like Kobe and Shaq. But with that being said, we'll go ahead and get started here. Guys, so I think we should have done this thing, right? We're like, remember when the James Harden trade happened? We were like, this is stupid. The Clippers look dumb. They lost 8 in a row. Ha ha ha. The Clippers are the Clippers. And then they were like, actually, we're really, really good. And we're going to kick everyone's asses. And we did kick everyone's asses for months. I think everyone was like, oh, wow, the Clippers are for real. They're a title contender. Myself included. I ate crow. That trade worked out great. And then things are starting to happen like they always do to the Clippers in this scenario, right?
We're back on the Clippers suck.
Yeah. So granted, they are up 11 right now on the Bulls at half as we're recording, but it's the Bulls. Let's just make sure we have that preference.
On a back-to-back, though, give the Bulls some credit. They're on a back-to-back here.
And did they win yesterday? Was that the end of the game? Yeah.
And it took, and there's no Kobe White.
And Kobe White's hurt. You're right. Who should probably win comeback player of the year and probably won't. But I mean, most improved player, but probably won't. That's something I can remember. So Russell Westbrook's hurt. Kawhi Leonard's playing tonight, but he's starting to do this Kawhi thing where he's not playing all the time. This conversation of Paul George potentially going to the Pacers, even though we've kind of been like, I believe it when I see it, is getting more and more smoke as the season goes on. You heard a lot about it during the All-Star break for obvious reasons, because where the All-Star game was. But I think we all knew with this team that the only thing that could really destroy them, besides the fact that James Harden was there and he just ruins every locker room, was injuries. And they're starting to get a little bit of that injury bug, not just those two, but Zubac has been in and out of the lineup. They've had a lot of things going on. So if you're a Clipper believer, if you bet on the Clippers to win the title, should you be concerned at this point?
I mean, I would just be concerned by betting on the Clippers.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. Like, even if they were 60-6 right now, I would still be concerned about that. But, like, more concerned than before, I don't know. They haven't had a rough stretch, honestly, at all season since they got James Harden, besides their first 5 or 6 games. So I wouldn't be that concerned. It's just a little lull. As long as they're healthy, actually healthy when the playoffs start, then I wouldn't be too concerned, or any more concerned than you already were, is what I'm trying to say. But a bad thing for them right now is they're not locked in, but they're like 2 or 3 games out, I think, correct, from the 3 seed? Let me check.
Yeah, they're 3 games back of Minnesota.
3 games back.
Yeah, so that second round, they get a more favorable first round matchup, in my opinion, honestly, if they get the Pelicans, than playing like the Kings, Suns, Mavs, Lakers, one of those teams. So I think they get a more favorable matchup in the first round, but now the Nuggets are rolling, and it's looking like they might cruise to this 1 seed. And if you got to play the Nuggets in the second round, that's not good for them, trying to get to that Western Conference Finals at least.
Do you think that would be a somewhat decent series, though?
No.
Or do you think I think they take them to six.
I think they take them to 6 because I think Kawhi Leonard is very, very good in the playoffs when he plays. I really do.
If he plays.
Yeah, so if Kawhi's healthy, I think he wins 2 games just doing Kawhi things, honestly.
Okay. I think that's fair. I would say 6 as well in a series like that. I think
They do what the Suns did last year. Like, they'll have a couple games where they go off and win the game, but like the Nuggets are obviously the better team.
Yeah, it's the Nuggets still.
I mean, against the Pelicans, that's like you said, that's going to be just a wash. That'll be easy pickings for them. I would be super surprised if the Pelicans were able to beat the Clippers in a 7-game series.
The only thing I'll say is Zion has actually looked like himself for
a little while
now.
Yeah, he has. But I don't trust their experience in any sort of situation like that at all. And I don't trust Zion. You know, I love watching him play. Like, I think he's so fun. I mean, he looks good and everything, but we never get enough of him. We just never get like consistent Zion Williams out there to like, for me to be like, all right, this is it, you know?
Agreed. The one thing I will say I have noticed about the Pelicans, because I'm just looking at their game logs right now, they've been ramping up Zion's minutes lately. Because he's been playing like 30 minutes all year, like just pretty much 30 minutes. He's at 35, 36, 35 the last 3 games. So it looks like, because obviously in the playoffs, rotations get shorter. You have to play your star players heavy minutes if you want to win a damn series. So it seems like this was kind of the plan to ramp up his minutes as the season goes on.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing about them too is like, I'm just going to probably just piggyback on everything you guys said here is the experience. And that's not to say, I kind of look at them as a team. So when Kevin was on a couple weeks ago, we talked about the Cavs where it's like, no, I think the Cavs have to have the 2 seed to advance. I don't think if they drop to the 3 seed that they really have a shot. But they don't have to be all that successful right now. I think, you know, with what they're building, it sounds like there's no Donovan Mitchell moving on thing for them. They're going to make sure they court him. But like, if they fall right now, they would play Philadelphia if the season ended today. Well, right now they're playing Indiana, Miami, Chicago, or Atlanta. So it's kind of that thing. So like for the Clippers, I do really believe, so you mentioned how far out they are from Minnesota. They're just 2.5 games up on New Orleans and just 3.5 games up on Phoenix and Sacramento. So I do think they need to have
home
court advantage.
So there is a world that they could fall into the play-in. There's a world. What's their what's their schedule coming up too? Because I was looking at the Kings schedule yesterday, and the Kings schedule is very, very easy moving forward. And I believe the Suns is
Wizards.
So, yeah. Raptors. So here's here's the Clippers for
the Pelicans. Got them tomorrow.
Tomorrow. So the day this comes out, they go home for Atlanta. They got back to back in Portland.
Oh God, yeah, that's easy.
Philly, Indiana, at Philly, at Orlando, at Charlotte to end the month.
I'm not gonna lie, that's like every game to win. Like in terms of like just like looking at it, because I'm a Magic believer somewhat, but like I still think the Clippers should win that game.
Yeah, they should win that game for sure. And then they'll round out the season at at Sacramento. Home for Denver, home for Utah, home for Cleveland, at Phoenix, home for Phoenix, home for Utah, home for Houston. So schedule's definitely very favorable for the Clippers the rest of the way. Yeah. That probably kind of helps in that conversation. But let's talk about another team that has just really shown the inability to all of a sudden to win. And that's the Miami Heat. And look, I'm going to preface this with this one thing. We know that they are zombies. We know that they do this. We know
every
they did
year.
this last year and went to the finals. So I understand that someone's going to say, I'm not worried about it. And I understand that. But I'm going to point some things out about them to where maybe we should be. So obviously, Jimmy Butler says it's time to lock in. They do not look locked in. Last night, I think the score did not tell the story of how far apart the game was between them and Denver, and Denver still won by double digits. And it's the Nuggets. So obviously they're, you know, like we said, it's probably their league another, for another couple year or two. That's fine. But I
dropped a game to the Wizards with everybody healthy too. Well, outside of Hero. Hero has been out, but think
Kuzma
Hero
had
being
a great
out
game,
more...
guys.
Hey. Kuzma slander will not be tolerated. He plays great every night. It's the rest of the roster. I'm just kidding. Did you guys see he posts mixtapes after every game, and then people are like, imagine posting a highlight reel after a 30-point loss, but you drop 25, so you post a.
That's what I always found so funny when he was like, no one wants to be the team to lose to the Pistons. And they had like 5 wins at the time. The Pistons had 2 wins. So it was like,
I know.
Calm down, buddy.
But he's the best player on the roster. So he led the team.
He's been, the Wizards have this thing about always having this one guy who looks amazing on the team because the rest of the team is terrible. It's happened literally pretty much my entire life. I think about the year Juwan Howard was there.
Chris Webber.
Like
Porzingis last year.
Porzingis, Beal.
Remember Wizards Larry Hughes? Problem.
Yeah, he was
a problem. Like he was a problem.
Hey, Richard Hamilton.
Wait for next season's edition of Jordan Poole. I know. Because I'm not going to lie. I feel like there's no way he's not going to go out there and at least average 20 next year. There's no shot he like gets worse again. I don't know. Because you have games where he drops 30 and he looks amazing. And then next night, 4 points. He's been a lot better since he moved to the bench, but still.
Yeah, it's so funny with him too. Like Denny Avdia is like, guys, I'm actually good at basketball, I promise. And you're like, oh, okay, sure. And he's like, he has this stretch where it's like, oh, he's good at basketball. Okay, cool. Like
every time I try on a Wizards game, I swear Corey Kispert has 20. Like
always.
Tyus Jones has 16 assists and they lost by 25.
It's like that whole like that Angels meme where it's like Shohei Ohtani goes 7 innings with and hits 2 home runs. Mike Trout went 4 for 5 and they lost 8-2.
Yeah, literally.
That's the Wizards. But back to the Heat, I think that this is kind of we're going to preference with yes, we know this is kind of the thing with them. Schedule's up and down. Detroit 2 games in a row. Obviously, you kind of feel comfortable they can at least get one of those, if not both. Go to Philly, go to Cleveland, come home from New Orleans, Cleveland, Golden State, and Portland, and go to Washington to end the month. But my issue is not necessarily the schedule being beneficial to them, because it certainly is. This is a team that obviously has no issues and no fear with having pressure on them going into the playoffs. But have you guys watched the Miami Heat's offense in the half court? It's putrid. Have you watched their offense in transition? It's putrid.
It's bad.
It's not bad. Good.
Can I ask a question real quick too? We're only aiming to split with the Pistons now. Damn.
I said should win both, but
yeah.
You said win both.
You said maybe win both. Yeah.
I'm that concerned,
you said
guys.
Should split and get one. He said should get one.
I noticed that too, and I was kind of like,
I was like,
I'm very worried.
I was like, they're struggling, but are they 10-55 now? I was like, aren't they still like
watch they go and lose both of them?
Tim predicted it.
And then Tim's online a couple days later, like, I'm really worried, guys. Really, really worried.
Nah, Butler won't let them lose either of those games. But like
no.
Hey, I don't know if Terry Rozier has been exactly what they thought he was going to be, what I thought he'd be there. So
I think he would fit better off the bench, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think he's too much of a scorer. Like, they're trying to have him be like that Kyle Lowry role, that Gabe Vincent role. And he's too much of a just microwave on offense. Like, he needs to be shooting the ball more, in my opinion. Like, and have the ball in his hand. He's like off the ball a lot. I don't know. I don't think it really fits well.
Yeah, I agree.
The thing is, I mean, like looking at the standings and everything now with the East, the Bulls are
basically they're going to be in the nine.
They're going to be guaranteed to be in the nine. They're 3.5 back. The Pacers would have to lose a couple to go beyond. I mean, the Heat and the Celtics, that's not going to be great.
Well, they could, I'm not going to lie, if they do match up with they definitely could pass the Sixers. The Sixers are struggling bad. And then they definitely, if they get the 7 or the 8, they'll play that game either way. So they could get the 7 as well. And I'm taking them over the Cavs in a first round matchup. I'm not going to lie, I'm taking them over the Cavs. Yep.
Question for you guys. So I saw that. So Embiid, they're saying, is going to be back now the last week of the season. How much do you think that affects? I mean, he's been out for a really long time. How much do you guys think that affects that team? Do you think he comes in and just steamrolls again? Or is that going to be like, are they going to be one and out immediately?
I still think. Depends how healthy he is.
That's what I'm asking.
Full bore and play like 40 minutes in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that would be. They could. If I mean, Joel Embiid's healthy and they have Tyrese Maxey out there. They're fine.
What?
They're second round exits for the 8th year in a row.
Yeah.
Like, what is fine, Tim? Like, second round exits again?
Yeah, of course it is.
Because I don't think
that's fine.
I don't think. Yeah, there's not enough. Yeah.
All I'm going to say is the Heat, in my opinion, in the first round at least, they got to try and avoid the Bucks or the Celtics because, like, both those teams are coming for vengeance.
Yeah.
I could see a world where the Celtics lost to the Heat. Even though the Celtics are a much better team than the Bucks, I think there is no way in hell Giannis lets that happen 2 years in a row, in my opinion.
No.
Especially not in that game.
Giannis is not going to let that happen, and the Heat have matched up really well against the Celtics over the last couple of years. They've had some really good games against them.
You mean
this
last
year,
like, decade?
Yeah, it's true. They have. That's true. I'm downplaying it. I'm downplaying it. But
you know, like maybe like he considered Pistons. About playing the Pistons. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, they're gonna be coming for blood this year. You don't wanna touch the Celtics in the first round this year. It's gonna be terrible.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
I'm with you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, it's the Miami Heat, and it's like you can never count them out no matter who's on the team. It's just the structure. Something works there. And I don't know what it is that, like, you know, whatever Pat Riley and this voodoo witchcraft thing him and Eric Spoelstra have going on, it works. It works. So, like, they're always gonna, like, a threat to win a round or two in the playoffs. They're always a threat to make some sort of miraculous run that you didn't expect them to. I think they've had the most conference finals appearances besides the Warriors since the Heatles. I think that's right. I don't have that right in front of me, but it sounds right.
I'm trying to think, maybe, because I know, wait, like counting LeBron's years?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, probably. Because I was just thinking in my head, the
six.
Celtics haven't the Celtics gone to the conference finals every year of Tatum's career?
Not every year.
It was no, only 1 year, right?
Yeah.
It was only 1 year. The one
his
year
second
they
year. Yeah, his second year when everyone picked him the one.
Oh no, it's been 2 years then because
lost the Heat in the bubble.
No, that was the conference finals.
Oh, okay,
the one
yeah.
year they sucked. What was that? 2020, the COVID year, 2020, 2021. That year, they were terrible. They were like
that's
the seven
right.
or eight seed and lost to the Nets. Got swept by the Nets.
Yeah, because that's the KD.
And then they swept them the next year.
Yeah, that's the KD shoe is like this close to them playing for the championship.
Yeah, that year.
I remember that. How different Kevin Durant's legacy is if his foot is like just a few inches back, you know? Like,
yeah, because they win that title.
I yeah, think. They do. Yeah, they freaking smoke all those teams. Yeah, but that's the Heat. We know what's going to happen there. Any other current things you guys want to talk about before we can have some laughter?
I think we need to show love to the Chicago Bulls' best player.
Hell yeah, we do.
Yeah,
that's the only thing we'll
he's a beast.
To.
He's a beast. DeMar DeRozan's longevity needs to be studied. I said this before. Like, people don't talk about it enough. He's not aging at all, really.
He's just part of the week.
His skill is getting better.
He passed Elgin Baylor this week in points.
Yeah. I mean, DeMar DeRozan legitimately could score 30,000 points in the NBA and be a top 10 all-time leading scorer. And it's just going to be, like, the biggest, like, all these, like, players, and then DeMar DeRozan, six-time All-Star. Like, it's like, he has a legitimate shot to score 30,000 points.
I know
he
does.
Do it.
Yeah, he's already become one of my all-time favorite Bulls in 3 years. Like,
yep.
It's just,
I love watching. If you love basketball, you love watching DeMar DeRozan play basketball. Like, it's so smooth. Everything's just like seems calculated and thought out.
Mid-range god.
Yep.
Yeah, I love watching the
mid-range. Explosive as hell.
Yeah, he's still got some bounce. Like, yeah. and when the game's on the line, bro does not miss.
Doesn't care. He's not afraid.
Unless he
sees LeBron in the playoffs, then he.
But no one fears LeBron. Didn't you hear what Shaq said?
Yeah, DeMar DeRozan and Kyle
whatever.
Lowry definitely
yeah.
LeBron.
Yeah.
Yeah, still to this day, the best game I've ever witnessed in person was that New Year's Eve heave where he ended up beating the Pacers on New Year's Eve with that stupid almost between half court. And I mean that was one of the most incredible shots ever.
The next night he had a buzzer beater to beat the Wizards.
He did it again. Yeah. He did it two nights in a row. It was incredible. I mean, he is that was one of those like I came out of my body because I was like, did that just really happen? Did that just really happen? And they were playing so well that year too.
Yeah, that was the year that's right around when Lonzo gets hurt.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, I had so much belief in this team. All right, if we're gonna be handing out flowers.
Quick question, real quick. How many years are left on his and LaVine's?
This is DeRozan's free agent year.
He is a free agent after this year?
There's no such thing as free agency anymore, though. He's going to re-sign with the Bulls. It's just
the
contract might get traded.
So my question, because I feel like if they have to re-sign him at this point.
Yeah.
They have no other choice.
He's not going anywhere.
So my question then is, for the Bulls, next year, since Lonzo is going to be back, it's like official now, right? Like he's spreading
everything
or whatever.
But, yeah.
It seems like he's going to be back. So pretty much it's like, it's deadline or bust next season. It has to be, right? Like,
yep.
If they're not at least like a top five seed at the deadline, they're gonna.
So
you would think, though, they might be the 9 seed and say we're running it back next year with 36-year-old DeRozan.
Don't put anything past this front office, Parker. Like they will hold on to this team as long as they can.
Because we thought this year was the bust year. So
today, talking about ownership in front office, Jerry Reinsdorf actually got protested finally today because the White Sox traded Dylan Cease during spring training to the Padres, their best starting pitcher. So finally, Chicagoans went outside Comiskey Park, whatever it's called now, U.S. Cellular, and were like protesting him. So I was like, oh, he doesn't care. But, you know, it's finally starting to show that, like, there's a thing. But I wanted to say, if we're handing out flowers before we move on our segment, gotta say it, Parker. We've talked shit about him all year. I think D'Angelo Russell deserves some flowers.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
He's been pretty darn good.
He has been. He's been really bad the last two games, but besides that, he's been amazing.
Dude, that Milwaukee game was crazy.
That was crazy. That was insane. You don't see people take over games like that very often. Like, he has the ability. But also, I'm not going to lie, did you see the article that came out?
David McMenamin's? I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, that is wild. The stuff he said, he pretty much said he hates Darvin Ham in the article without saying it.
Did you read this, Sean?
Wild.
So, Dave McMenamin, who, like, is, my opinion, the best NBA writer in the world. He's unbelievable.
Yeah. He's the Lakers beat writer, right?
Correct. Yeah, for ESPN. So, he had a story come out yesterday on D'Lo, and it more profiles, you know, the 44-point game against the Bucks. Just kind of like how he's been on this run post All-Star break, how he's finally fitting in, how he kind of dealt with like trade rumors and stuff like that. It's a really good article. But he basically says, he's like, I was not allowed to talk to Darvin Ham because Darvin Ham had a relationship with Dennis Schroeder. He's like, so that's why I got benched in the playoffs last year for Dennis Schroeder, because I couldn't go to him when I was struggling to say, like, let's do this. And he said that in practice earlier this year, when they put him on the bench, he was coming off the bench, that he like challenged Ham in practice with some of his play calling decisions and was like, no, that's not how we're going to do things. And I guess it caused a rift. But one of the things he said in there that was really fascinating, they were talking to Anthony Davis and they were talking about different things they can do, like to kind of get the offense rolling. And he said that there's one play that they run and it has 7 different calls, but it's the same play over and over again. So if you're on the defense, they call this, you're like, okay, what are they running? It's just the same play over and over again.
Let me guess. LeBron ISO.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Or AD post up.
Yeah, AD post up or really Hachimura in the corner. So
yeah, Hachimura kick to the corner, drive it. Yeah. What else did or this one's crazy too. The LeBron Rui pick and roll. If they switch, dump it off to Rui with the point guard on him. That's his other that's the other one.
That's the other one. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
They are the best bad team of all time.
They really are, man.
Like, cause like I will not be surprised one bit if they are in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, if they went around.
If they're in, I'm gonna expect them to win a round. If they're not playing the Nuggets, if they're playing anybody but the Nuggets, I'm gonna expect them to win a round.
Especially like we talked about last week. If they play OKC, they're just gonna body Chet the whole time.
This season they've owned the Clippers. They've owned the Thunder.
Basically, anyone that's not the Kings.
They split with the Timberwolves. They don't want the Kings.
Or the Nuggets. That's it.
Actually, I'm not going to lie. I wouldn't hate the Kings in the playoffs. Yeah. Even though they don't terrify me in the playoffs. But it is very – if you're rooting against the Kings, it's very annoying to watch Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox. And I'm a Kentucky fan.
Always.
Oh, my God. They're so fast. And they just get to their spot every freaking time.
Especially considering that Malik Monk was a Laker for a year. And, like, that's how he, like, got his legs underneath him again.
That's how he got some money.
Yeah.
The quick question I have, just since we're just talking about whatever for the current topic, is De'Aaron Fox, when he's hot, the best player in the NBA? Like,
feels
when
like
that 15-foot jump shot is going. Because he gets to his spot every single time. It's just if it goes in or not.
Yeah. Hey, I have a question while we're talking about it. What's up with your Kentucky boys not sticking with Nike? What's with them signing with crappy shoe companies?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like,
you got Tyrese Maxey on New Balance, Jamal Murray on New Balance.
Fox is on Under Armour.
Shea Converse.
I mean, at least Converse and Nike are the same company.
At least D-Book and AD are Nike.
Bam's Jordan. Yeah.
Yeah, so he is.
Jordan. I don't understand how you can go to Kentucky and not have a Nike shoe deal. Like, how you could just be like, this was cool for a year, but I don't want it. Like, you get whatever you want. Like, every shoe you can think of, that's like, they'll make it for you in the factory if you're like, I want
Drake. Drake gives you, like, all his OVO and Nocta brand shoes, literally.
Yeah. Did you go to Rupp?
No, I didn't. I saw him in Columbus, though, a month ago.
Oh, that was nice.
So fun. Did you see the picture he posted? That was funny.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, all his teammates left him.
Yeah, I did like that. All right, dudes. So, for the flashback, I was just thinking of something that we could just kind of do and, like, kind of just reminisce and get some kicks out of. And this is the era that was the Charlotte Bobcats. So, take it back real quick just so everyone kind of understands. So, obviously, the Charlotte Hornets go to New Orleans in 02? 01 or 02. I can't remember the exact year. Shortly after Charlotte's announced to get an expansion team. As you expect, Charlotte is a basketball town. North Carolina is a basketball state. They need to have a pro team there. I'm all for it. New Orleans is still carrying the moniker of the Hornets at the time, which is as funny as the Jazz being in Utah for obvious reasons. There's no such thing as that in Utah because they don't play music there. Haven't you seen Footloose? It's basically the same thing. And so they're like, well, we need to think of a name for the Charlotte basketball team. Like, we have the Carolina Panthers, so I guess we could just go with the Charlotte Bobcats. No one says no to this. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, sure. Okay, sure. Why not? Yeah, that's good.
I mean, when they announced that, I just remember thinking to myself, oh, my God, this is going to be bad. And then the logo came out.
Yeah.
Then the jerseys came out, and I was like, bad.
Those jerseys are so bad.
You remember an NBA Live.
When I think of the Bobcats, all I think of is Gerald Wallace and Corey Maggette. That's what I think of.
Oh, we're getting there. We're getting there.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't bury the lead, Parker. Do you remember, like, in the old NBA games when you would make expansion teams, there would be, like, generically built teams? That's what this team felt like.
Oh,
it was. It was just like that.
And then weren't they throwing, like, max contracts at, like, Ben Gordon?
No. Here's what I was going to say. So, before the NBA draft lottery, they have an expansion draft, like most teams do. And I honestly thought, like, when I look back, they did really well at the expansion draft. So they got like Jason Capono, and they got
Year is this?
This is like 04.
What was that when they became a franchise?
That was the year that they were first able to put a roster together. Yeah.
So, quick question, because I would have been one. Was there 28 teams at the time?
29. So there was New Orleans
teams
was still
in the East. New Orleans was in the East.
They were in the East at the time. Yeah. So they moved into the West, and Charlotte came in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. That makes sense.
So here's what the Bobcats did in the expansion draft. Like I said, I was kind of shocked by how well they did. So Lonnie Baxter, J.R. Brewer, Maurice Carter, Desmond Ferguson, Marcus Fizer, Brandon Hunter, Jason Capono, Zaza Pachulia, Gerald Wallace was a part of it. But what they did was they took like four or five guys that they traded immediately to get extra picks. So I was like, oh, clever. I like it. But I also found it hilarious that even though they had never played an NBA game, they weren't given the first pick. It was like, well, you guys are part of this, so you have to play by the rules of everybody else. And so they did not win the lottery for the 2004 draft, which, Sean, you remember very well, as much as I have. We've talked about this in the past. The Emeka or Dwight conversation was not a heavy one side or the other. Like, that was a real question until Orlando makes the pick.
Yeah. Nobody knew what was going to happen on that draft. It was going to be one or the other.
Like, Emeka was so good at UConn. And I mean, realistically, if you look at his numbers, had a really good NBA career.
Him and Ben Gordon, man.
Yeah. Just the neck injury really just put him out. Like, I mean, he had a really good NBA career. For a while.
Emeka Okafor, that's somebody like I looked up his stats one day and I was shocked. Him and like Al Jefferson.
Emeka Okafor is
another Bobcat superstar right there.
Yeah.
Or was he a Hornets only?
No, Al Jefferson was a Bobcat.
Yeah, he was a Bobcat.
Yeah, he was part of the transition.
Yeah. He buried his career there.
So
he was 20-10 every year on those Bobcat squads.
Yep. And so what happened from there is obviously they drafted Mecca Okafor. He went rookie of the year his first year and should have. He was, you know, the only thing to be excited about from that team.
Yeah.
For a bit there. And then the next year, 2005, they draft Raymond Felton and Sean May. They wanted to keep the North Carolina Tar Heels in North Carolina. And I think Sean May played 3 years in the league.
Yeah, who is Sean May? I don't know.
Oh, dude, he was like a problem at North Carolina.
Oh, my God, Parker. Like, I mean, when I remember when they got him, I was like, oh, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
This is going to be great for Charlotte. And, like, man, he just dropped off.
Dude, most games he played in a season was 37.
Oh, I know who this is. I know who this is, actually. Yeah. I've seen him. I know who this is.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so, he was a problem.
Year three is the Adam Morrison pick.
Oh. Oh.
So, drafting was not their specialty.
I do know who that is.
Yeah. This team had one winning record throughout their entirety before they switched over, and it is obviously most well-known because this is when Michael Jordan's ownership is involved, as when LeBron has the fast break in the playoffs, staring Michael Jordan down as he throws a dunk down, which is like a moment you see all the time when you see LeBron's greatest moments.
I forgot they lasted that long. I was thinking they ended in like 2012. They did go till 2014, right?
Yeah. So they do draft Kemba Walker, obviously, who was like the best player to ever play for the Charlotte NBA franchise, however you want to count that history. Yep. And their last draft pick, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
Ooh.
Yeah. And if you remember, the second year they were the Hornets, they beat the Dwayne Wade Heat in the first round of the playoffs. So immediately they changed back to where they should be. And immediately
they did. I forgot about that.
And immediately they win games. But Larry
the crazy
Brown,
thing too, is Kidd-Gilchrist was like a solid player for like his first three or four seasons. And then after that, he just fell off a cliff because he was so damn good defensively. He was so damn good defensively. He was a good passer. He just couldn't shoot.
This is the story of everyone involved with the Charlotte Bobcats is, well, you know, this guy was all right, but this is their inaugural roster. This is Nelly. So they won 18 games, which is actually for your inaugural season, not bad. Yeah. Corey Alexander, Malik Allen, Keith Bogans, Primoz Brejic, Matt Carroll, Melvin Eli, Jason Hart, Eddie House, Jason Capono, Brevin Knight, Emeka Okafor, Bernard Robinson, Kareem Rush, former Laker, Jamal Sampson, Tamar Slay, Steve Smith, Theron Smith, Gerald Wallace, and Jahidi White.
Wow. I can't believe Steve Smith was there, and I can't believe that there was one other guy you just mentioned. Brevin Knight. I couldn't believe Brevin Knight was there, too. Like, I thought he was retired by then.
How many of these are 2K-generated players? Like, seriously, that's how they sound.
Yeah, you're right. Like, it's like the random white bald guys they put at the end of the bench, and they don't have enough guys for the all-time rosters.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yep.
Yeah. And then the next year, basically the same exact roster, except for Ray Felton, Jermaine Jones, Sean May come in. And then, so their playoff team was, let's see. Oh, yeah. Larry Brown was the coach of the team that went to the playoffs in 2009, 2010. That's when
Tyrus
they got Thomas. DJ. Yeah, they had Tyrus Thomas. They got DJ Augustine, who actually had a really, really good NBA career. They had Zagana Zhop, Boris Diaw, Larry Hughes, Steven Jackson, Nazi Muhammad, Theo Ratliff and Tyrus Thomas to go with Gerald Wallace. That team was good.
Yeah, I forgot about Steven Jackson on the Hornets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just overall, on AC Law was on the team. College basketball legend, not so good NBA player, AC Law.
Mm-hmm.
But just looking at this team with their draft history, their win-loss records, I don't know if you can count this as anything more than just the most debacle of a failure of an NBA team. Also, the lowest single season win percentage of any team, because during the lockout year they went like 9-53.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Trash team.
Yeah.
Trash franchise.
Yeah, it was. I always, like, growing up, like, just thought their uniforms and stuff were so ugly.
They were terrible.
Like,
They were
like, not just they were bad, but like, and then they upgrade to, in my opinion, nice uniforms. The Hornets, I liked those when those first came out, and I still like them to this day. So they definitely remodeled well. But what year? My question is, what year did the Hornets become the Pelicans to make that name available? Was it 2013, 2014?
Yeah.
Because it was Davis. Davis played.
Davis's
one
rookie
year.
He was a Hornet.
Yeah. He was a Hornet. Yeah.
Yeah, because David West and Chris Paul were Hornets.
And I remember the Pelicans. I hated those uniforms as well when they became the Pelicans.
Yeah, I did too. I like the purple NOLA ones. Those are cool. But like those everything were, else, yeah. I hate
their ones now aren't horrible, but their original ones were pretty bad.
I just thought it was so funny because the history like of everything was so weird. Where it was like, oh yeah, Emeka Okafor was also traded to the New Orleans Hornets for Tyson Chandler.
Yeah.
Ugh, so that's so confusing.
Like another weird, like.
So confusing.
Yeah.
Well, here's another fun tidbit you guys might not have known. And I was just reading this because I did not know about. But May 2005, the Bobcats reportedly spurned an opportunity to trade up to the number five pick in the 2005 NBA draft to land Chris Paul.
No way.
Yeah, like everything was like interconnected, connected with those two. But it's funny because like you know, they've changed their name back to the Hornets, and you know nothing's really changed.
Nope.
I mean, just cooler logo, better history. You know,
do they have a better history? Does this Hornets?
They've won a playoffs round, so that's all they got.
Yeah, they've won one. Yeah. But like, how many times have they been to the playoffs? Like twice.
Yeah, I think so.
They did go to the play-in LaMelo's first 2 years.
Yep.
His first 2 years. But since then, they've been horrible his next 2 years.
Yeah, I do like how I like their upside. I think Brandon Miller's going to be a dude. Like he's really good.
Yeah. LaMelo just needs to stay healthy. He hasn't really played any games the last 2 years.
So, talking about the transition, I remember back when Sean knows about this site very well called Ballstreams. And it was a fantastic, fantastic tool on the internet.
Amazing.
For those of us who could not afford NBA League Pass back in the day. And there was one time, they basically showed the League Pass feed where it's like when the game goes to commercial on the broadcast, you still see what's going on in the arena. So I'm watching it, and like this has been announced that next year they're going to be the Charlotte Hornets. So this is like the last year of the Bobcats. And it's like, is everyone excited to be the Hornets next year? And there's probably like, it looks like there's like 40 people in the arena like,
40 people are amped.
Right? Like, let's go. Woo. Yeah, like, hooray team. And it's like, you can tell, like, no one wants to be there. They probably got free tickets from work or something.
free work tickets.
Yeah, like, the work had season tickets, and they can't get people to take them kind of thing. But it was just a travesty of a situation. Sean May. So, okay, let me go through.
Sean May, Tyrus Thomas. After the Bulls realized Tyrus Thomas was a bust.
Bro, the Bulls amnestied Tyrus Thomas, okay?
Kwame Brown played for them at one point? For some reason, I'm feeling like he played for them. I don't know why.
I'm sure he did.
Like, Kwame? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I feel it in my bones. He played there.
Yeah.
He played there.
So, here's the draft history. So, 2004, Emeka Okafor, before we talked about that, number two overall. 2005, Raymond Felton at five. Sean May at 13, like we talked about. Right after Sean May was So that was the year North Carolina four guys got in the lottery, which was like a record at the time before, obviously, the Kentucky runs. Jason McSeal also taken the first round of that draft by the Pistons. 2006 is Adam Morrison at three overall. So he was taken over Tyrus Thomas, Brandon Roy, Randy Foy, Rudy Gay, J.J. Redick, Thabo Sefolosha, Ronnie Brewer. Like, pretty decent draft. 07, they take Brendan Wright, also of North Carolina. Noticing a trend here, guys?
MJ thought he was finding the next version of him.
Yeah. 08, they take DJ Augustine. Ended up being a really good pick. I mean, the year DJ Augustine was a Bull.
What pick was he, though? What pick was he?
DJ Augustine was the ninth pick. So he was picked after Eric Gordon.
Is that a really good pick for the ninth pick? I feel like it's okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
Like a career backup point guard, like solid.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, I don't feel like DJ Augustine was ever really on like a good team. Maybe the Bulls.
Yeah, he was on a good Bulls team for that 1 year.
Yeah.
An okay Orlando team there for a year. And that the year he was in Indiana, they were good.
Yeah, that's true. I just feel like a lot of times DJ Augustine was like the starting point guard on the 20-win squad.
Yeah, to put in context, George Hill was taken late in that draft. They could have got George Hill, and that probably would have been about the same.
Yeah.
So the Blake Griffin draft, they did not have a pick.
Where the hell
did they pick? I'm sorry, they did. They took Gerald Henderson at 12th.
That wasn't... Gerald Henderson had a few highlights.
Yeah.
He used to throw down dunks from Kimbo.
He went to Duke, though.
Yeah, he did.
He went to Duke. So
Sean goes, yeah, I remember those highlights.
I remember him. I was there.
It was 2010. They did not have a pick at all in the draft.
Can you allow me to share my screen? I have information for us.
Sure enough.
Kwame Brown, sideline 4 to 6 weeks on the Bobcats. Told you. I was like, I remember him in that jersey at one point.
So 2011 was Kemba Walker. 2012 was Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. So.
Shout out Kwame Brown being in the NBA.
Kwame Brown.
That's actually crazy. That's actually insane. He lasted that long. How?
He famously told Doug Collins, "If you draft me number one, you'll never regret it." Narrator. He did regret it.
He very much regretted it.
He regretted it badly.
That's awesome. What a weird time in the NBA. So now they're talking about all these expansion teams. The places like Vegas, Seattle obviously have come up quite a bit. I still stand by Louisville should be on the
absolutely.
List because it is a basketball town. The Yum Center can very easily be an NBA arena. It's beautiful.
Bring back the Colonels, baby.
Where do you think Louisville would play then?
I think they'd split it. I mean, just like St. John's plays at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, that's true. I completely forgot about that. Swing it. That is true.
But granted,
you can't put a team in Lexington.
No, absolutely not.
It's too much a college basketball town. That wouldn't work. So if you're gonna put one in Kentucky, it's gotta be Louisville.
Yeah, and I don't think Rupp could handle having an NBA arena just because of how old it is and.
Yeah, it's attached to a dead mall.
Yeah, I'll never forget. It took Sean and I had to go down to work an event down there, and he was like, "I was like, oh, let's go to the Chinese place," and it was not there anymore. And I was like, "What happened?" They're like, it's like he got deported. I was like, "Oh, okay."
I just love that. Like my first experience there was, I'm like, "You're like talking up this Chinese place that's in this dead mall, this sad mall," and I'm like,
"Are you talking about the mall like in Rupp?
Yeah,
like the shopping in center Rupp. In Rupp.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah." And we end up, and their internet was terrible. And I just remember looking at Tim, and I'm like, "I'm sorry. So this is the Mecca of basketball?"
I say this all the time, and I'm a diehard Kentucky fan. It's not that great of an atmosphere. It really isn't. Like, it's
all
packed.
Old people,
it's like... always packed. But, like, the student, it's not. It's, like, it gives off, like, we're better than everybody. We don't need a student section. Like, we're going to win anyways type. Like, the students need to be on the floor. Like, even at Cameron Indoor, they're right there and stuff. Like,
oh, dude, Cintas Center, like, has, like, the one of the most fun
Cintas
student sections
Center is
ever.
Sick. Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's awesome.
Even, actually, I don't know anymore. Did you see what happened?
Yeah.
They kicked out the was it what did they call themselves? The stormtroopers?
Yeah.
The dudes from Barstool that like stormed the courts every time. They got kicked. Well, that wasn't the students though. That students were trying to keep them there. Security kicked them out. They were in the front of the student section.
Rupp is definitely not Allen Fieldhouse. It's definitely not Kansas. Like it's just
no. It's just too like it's just too it's like you're watching a play.
Right.
like it's just not it's not that great an atmosphere.
I agree. I completely agree. All right, so let's draft, shall we?
Let's.
All right, so this is Parker's draft. This is the draft of pre-merger selected NBA players. So this is pre-1976, so they entered the league by then. And it's going to be probably actually a pretty decent amount of talent. Take some people I don't really like very much, but you know, that's okay. So
and also we have watched countless hours of film all of these guys.
We've played with all these people in video games. Yeah. Let's just go ahead and put that out there. Like,
yeah, we know some of these guys from 2K mainly.
Yeah, like video games told us everything we need to know about some of these fools. So, all right.
Exactly. JJ Redick would not approve of this draft either.
Yeah, no, nor should he. So I had number one last week, so I go to the third pick. Sean moves. Sean, did you have two or three last week?
He had two.
I had two. Yeah.
So Sean's two. Parker. So Parker starts. Parker, Sean, me. All right.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. The first pick is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Easy.
Yeah.
I feel like that was way too easy.
I mean, way too easy. Will, I was tempted a little bit with Will, but Kareem's the pick.
Yep. Yep. All right. I hate doing this. I hate doing it. I'm going Bill Russell.
Cool. All right.
No. I will...
Not cool.
It's boring. It's boring.
Kuzi right, should have been the pick.
He's a fantastic number two option, though.
What was the guy from last week?
Wayne Embry.
Wayne Embry. He should have been drafted.
Hey. He might come up here.
Yeah. Say, I got. All right. So I'll go. 2 weeks in a row, I'll take him. We'll take Oscar. Right. And then I'll go Wilt.
Yeah, his team's winning.
All right. Just because I hate myself, Jerry West.
All right. I'm going to go Elgin Baylor. And then we need a point guard, and we need a winner on this team. So we're taking the janitor or plumber, whatever JJ Redick called him himself, Bob Cousy.
Dumb pick. You know why? Tim could beat him.
I could beat him.
Tim could beat him.
Yeah. Tim could beat him. I forgot.
Currently, right now, he could beat him.
Try to grab me a pick and roll, Cousy.
Cousy.
Yeah. Watch me set a screen, dog.
All right.
You'll snap his ankles when he's in his Converse. Wait, would he even be wearing Converse then?
Barely. Probably the first ones.
That's what would they be Chuck Taylors back then?
Yeah. Certainly would not be weapons.
Yeah, no. That's what I was. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. All right, well, it's your turn.
I need a center. I already got my power forward and point guard. I'm going way, 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 way back.
Of course.
All right. Because I'm a menace like that.
I think I know who's taken.
No, you don't. You don't. Oh. So I'm going with the man that once read on the marquee his name versus the New York Knicks. I'm going George Mikan.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think we took all the best.
The GOAT of the first like 10 years of the NBA.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Also, he created the 3-point line. Fun fact.
He did.
Because he was the commissioner of the
NBA. I did not know that.
That was him.
All right. So I'm going to take, to put next to Wilt, I'm going to take former Cincinnati Royal / Chicago Bull, Bob Love.
It's
a little under the radar pick.
Deep cut.
Jersey right. Hanging up at the United Center. Should be hanging up at the Cincinnati Gardens, but it's not a thing anymore.
Yeah.
And I need a guard to put with Oscar. So I'm going to stick with the Bulls. And I'm going to also take the former Baltimore Bullet turned Chicago Bull turned Utah Jazz coach against the Bulls in the finals. Jerry Sloan.
That's good.
I don't know what I'm doing in this draft, guys.
I don't know what I am doing. I'm gonna
do any of us know what we're doing.
I'm gonna slightly break a little bit of a rule just because of the height at the time and everything, and you know. But I'm gonna take for my number three. I'm gonna put him in there just because he's a swing big, Mr. Bob Pettit.
Nice.
Yep.
To pair with Kareem, we'll slide Kareem to the four. I'm going to put Bill Walton at center.
The last white American to get drafted number one overall.
Yeah, that might change this year. Good.
It very well might.
They have – some places have him as the number one pick.
I know.
Which is wild how bad the draft is. Don't get me wrong. He's a great, great player. But I still think there's a chance he stays in college, honestly, to be honest. But all right, with my next pick and my final pick, I'm going to go Hondo Havlicek.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. This is going to get nuts here. Let's see here.
it's going to get nuts.
This is going to get nuts here. Hold on just a second. Just so we know. All right. So I have, I believe, one pick left.
Yep.
So I'm going with one of the greatest New York Knicks of all time, a man who has graced the mini boxes of Just for Men over the years.
Nice.
I'm taking Walt Frazier.
Perfect.
And still the Knicks announcer at like 80
and
years
still
old.
The Knicks. So just so we're clearing this up, Jerry West, Walt Frazier, Pettit, Russell, Mikan. That's a team, guys.
That team might score 75 points.
Yeah, and they'll lock your ass down.
I got Cousy and Bill Walton passing. I just realized none of us took somebody that we should have taken. Actually, was he drafted
I'm on the
before
last,
that?
I had the last pick. So.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. It's probably not the person you're thinking of.
I don't think it is.
Again, I definitely have no idea what I'm doing here, but I need a wing to go with my Jerry Sloan, Bob Love, Oscar Robinson, Will Chamberlain team. I'm taking taking Cliff Hagin of the St. Louis Hawks.
Ooh. Your team's not winning shit, Tim.
Yeah, that team's not scoring 65.
I just want you to know that.
I was going to say, nobody drafted Pistol Pete. That's actually a guy that probably had the skill to play later on down the line.
Bum. Who did he beat?
He was more skilled than Cousy.
Kalen Clark broke his record.
Yeah, that's true. Kalen Clark broke his record.
I mean, I don't even. Was he? Did they leave him out of the 75 greatest players? Was he bumped?
I think he
was.
They didn't bump anybody out.
Yeah, no one was bumped from the 50. Okay. They just added 25 more.
Okay. I have a
one was question, not Dwight Howard.
But Tim brought that up, so I got to ask this. Why do we keep making a new record for her to break?
I don't know.
Like, why are we comparing her? Like she broke Steph Curry's 3 record? It's a different sport. That's like, legitimately, that's like comparing Aaron Judge is 8 home runs away from the Japanese record. Like it's like, I don't understand this, to be honest with you.
I do love Kalen Clark. I'm not going to.
Yeah, but nope, they're not going to do that. I love her too. She's awesome. She's awesome.
Don't backtrack.
No, I'm not slandering her. I'm just saying the media is making up stupid records for her to break.
I mean, it gets clicks and everything. I mean, it is huge that she's, you know, she has more points scored than, you know.
No, she's good.
But it's a different league. I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
Pistol Pete didn't have threes, and I'm so sick of if he had threes, he'd have been the all-time leading scorer conversation, because no, he wouldn't have.
No.
The game was too slow at that point to where it is now to, like, become close to LeBron and Curry.
What was Pistol Pete? Yeah, Pistol Pete was averaging, like, during his prime, about 27 a game on average.
Yeah.
Per year. Mm-hmm. And he retired at 32, so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Sean, you're the first pick in next week's draft. It's March Madness week. You have anything fun in the thought process?
Ooh, now that you say that and you put that on there. All right. Let's do best players to ever play in a Final Four.
Oh,
go.
Are we talking about their NBA career or college career?
No, college.
Okay, cool.
Dude, so that's a good draft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just thought of like 20 people right away.
Yeah.
I'm like going to. Number one, I'm just going to be like, all right, Purvis Ellison.
You know what I think a draft should be eventually?
What's that?
What?
First year of the NBA draft. The 1946 draft from the best players from the 46 season.
We're gonna be on like we're gonna have like those like 1980s like electronic encyclopedias where we're like looking up old players from the 40s. And, all right, how many games did this guy play? Oh,
well, what year did Mikan join the league? Was he there the inaugural year? That's the only person we know. I feel like from like the 40s.
I just drafted Cliff Hagin, sir.
Was there any leagues before the NBA? There had to have been, right?
I think there was. There was a lot, there was a lot of barnstorm leagues.
Oh, we could do like an ABA draft, actually. That would actually be a good draft.
I could take Cliff Hagin.
Guys, we're doing March Madness next week.
Oh, no, yeah, next week. I'm just thinking. I'm brainstorming
best
out here.
Best players to play in a Final Four. Man, that's a good one. Because
there's a lot of good players.
That means Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Michael Jordan are in this draft.
Sure. Yeah. I mean.
But I don't even know. I don't think Jordan should be picked, though, honestly. If we're just basing it off them in college.
Time will tell, Parker. Time will tell.
Come on, Parker. What are you talking about?
I mean, he was damn good, but there's better the college shot. Players.
Hashtag not Parker's goat.
Yeah, no.
We love.
I'm not Skip Bayless, though. Got him at 9. He's got LeBron. I got Jordan. Nah, he's 2. He's 2.
All right, with that being said, we're going to go ahead and wrap up this week's edition of NBA Friday, part of the Riverfront Media Network. If you're checking us out on YouTube and you have not subscribed to us already, what are you doing? Click the button. 2 seconds. 2 seconds. If you're checking us out on your podcast app of choice and have not left us a review, what are you doing? It's like a minute. It's like a minute. And if you are one of our, if you're not a member of our Patreon, it's $2 a month. It's like skip McDonald's. One time. I don't know. Is that what Dave Ramsey tells the loser people to do?
Yeah. He said we should all stop getting our $6 coffee and we should start making 99-cent sandwiches, which is... I'm thinking the guy from Shark Tank. The guy from Shark Tank is saying that. He's like, 99-cent sandwiches. I'm like, how could you make a 99-cent sandwich?
Yeah, where
tell
do you
me. Tell me how. Where do you get...
Bread's $2.50. Like,
They used to have those Dollar McChickens, man.
what a time, man. But with that being said, we're going to go wrap this up. On behalf of Parker and Shime, this is Tim Daniel. Have a good night, everybody.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.